back in. For the numbers. Wednesday, February 26, 2025. Adam Pfeiffer here. As always, approaching March already. Crazy. Scouting Combine, NFL Draft Combine kicks off this weekend. We got teams, you know, obviously all already there in Indy. That's exciting. I'm excited to completely overreact to everything we see and hear from the Combine over the next few days. But look, we're starting for football. Free agency hasn't started quite yet. We need something. That's why we continue doing this season in review series, recapping all 32 teams from the NFL. AFC East, in the books, we move forward. And we start with the AFC North today with the Baltimore Ravens. Have to start with the best team in the division. Have to start with the amazing Lamar Jackson, this awesome, historic offense, and just how good the Ravens were last season. So AFC North today, Bengals on Thursday with a special guest, Laquan Jones, who, if you missed it, is now part of FTN. Super excited to have him on the team. Really, really excited to do some work and content with him. And I thought, look, let's not waste any time. Let's get started. Get him on the podcast, talk some Bengals, talk about everything he's doing at FTN. I'm so excited. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. Stoked to have Laquan. Also stoked for baseball season. Spring training has started. We have a ton of amazing content at FTNFantasy.com. You have the Fantasy Baseball Draft Guide led by Vlad Sedler, featuring a bunch of amazing analysts from both FTN and around the industry. Of course, you can sign up for a baseball package today. Use that promo code SPRING15 to get yourself 15% off. Get you everything, projections, value-based rankings, everything you can think of. Discord, you name it. Baseball, it's got the most variance. I think it's the most tool-heavy, data-driven sport for fantasy. And we have you covered at FTNFantasy.com. Check it out today. Baseball. Pretty soon. Let's get to the Ravens, though, as we start with the AFC North. And the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, this was a team that could have went all the way. I mean, they had everything you could think of. The offense was historic. The defense started off really slow, especially the pass defense. But in the second half, switched. They moved Kyle Hamilton to more of a traditional safety. And the defense took off. And this team, you know, they fell short, losing to Buffalo in the divisional round. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a team to worry about for years to come because of their quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Could have easily won MVP once again. Josh Allen did win it, but I mean, Lamar had one of the best quarterback seasons we've ever seen, quite frankly. 41 passing touchdowns, over 4,100 yards, adds 915 rushing yards, four more touchdowns on the ground. He did it all. He continued to absolutely eviscerate zone coverage, led the NFL in passer rating against zone at 122.9. He just crushes zone coverage. And then, of course, if you play man against Lamar, well, he can crush you against that too. But then also, if your back's turned, he just takes off and runs, and good luck. But yeah, I mean, Lamar was, it's one of the best quarterback seasons we've ever seen. He's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. This past season, easily the quarterback one in fantasy, averaging 25.7 fantasy points per game. He had just one finish all year long outside the top 12, and his average finish in fantasy was quarterback 7. Also led the NFL in EPA per dropback, led the NFL in yards per pass attempt at 8.8. I don't know, like, what else is there to say about Lamar? He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. He does it all. He's just unbelievable. From a fantasy perspective, it's going to be him, Josh Allen at the top in rankings for 2025. They will both probably go in the second, third round of drafts, depending on the format. Home leagues, maybe they fall, or maybe they go a little bit earlier in that second round. Maybe, you know, industry leagues where quarterbacks tend to get pushed down, maybe they go later. But yeah, I mean, like, we'll talk about it, but like, since Todd Monken's been there, this has still been a run-first offense, but they've been a little bit more aggressive in terms of early down pass rate, stuff like that. I mean, Lamar, 41 passing touchdowns, 4,100 yards, on top of giving you like 750 rushing yards every single season. Yeah, I mean, he'll be my quarterback one, slightly ahead of Josh, probably. But, yeah, I mean, Lamar is unbelievable. Just really not much to add. He's just one of the best players we've seen. Derrick Henry, also one of the best players we've ever seen. And there's been some, going into before the season, there was some chatter, some rumors about maybe Derrick Henry going to Baltimore when he's a free agent. And outside of maybe some chance of Dallas, and of course Dallas wasn't really interested in paying Derrick Henry. Yeah, I mean, this was the landing spot, and it pretty much turned out the way we all thought it would. It was just pretty much unstoppable between Henry, Lamar. Yeah, I mean, like Saquon with the Eagles, we'll talk about when we get to the NFC East. Like, he had the historic season, and it gets more of the attention. But, man, Derrick Henry was fantastic as well. Over 1,900 yards, 16 touchdowns on 325 carries. And there was that week one game against Kansas City, which there's always overreaction in fantasy to week one, but especially when it's the very first game of the season on that Island Thursday game. That's when you really see the overreactions. And there was a lot with Derrick Henry because didn't have the greatest game, wasn't on the field a ton, didn't play third downs, Justice Hill played a lot. And I'm sitting here seeing Twitter just saying, oh, Derrick Henry, he's going to be a bust in fantasy. This is not a good sign. And I'm watching it, and it's like, okay, Chiefs were one of the best run defenses in football. The Ravens were behind in that game, trailing by like 7 to 14 points throughout. And they had a handful of snaps in the two-minute drill, which we know Derrick Henry won't play. And we know Tennessee, Baltimore, wherever, he doesn't play third downs very often, unless it's like third and one, third and goal, third and inches, whatever. So I'm seeing that people are worried about it, thinking, okay, look at the Ravens' schedule. There's going to be so many games where they're ahead, and then we see Henry get 20 to 25 carries. And of course that happened. But just remember, try not to overreact too much to week one. We can react. Reacting is fine. You're supposed to react in some capacity. But overreacting, I just can't do that in week one. And then, of course, Henry, there's better game scripts. He smashes. And the efficiency is what I expected to really climb. Some people thought his last year in Tennessee was okay. Is that at age 30? Is he on the decline with his efficiency, his breakaway runs, all this stuff? And to me, it was clearly the offensive line just did him zero favors in Tennessee. His final season with the Titans, Henry averaged 1.8 yards before contact per rush with 8.2% explosive rush rate. This year, with the Ravens, and granted the offensive line was a little bit of a concern early in the year, but the yards before contact per attempt went up to 2.5, and his explosive rush rate went from 8.2% to 13.8%, and only 14% of his runs were stuffed at or behind line of scrimmage. Just like, I wrote about it a lot in the offseason. We've seen running backs in Baltimore over the past 5-6 years, whatever it is, whether it's J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Devonta Freeman, Kenyon Drake, like they've had like 5-6 instances where a running back has been inside the top 10 in yards before contact per attempt. And that's a lot to do with the offensive line. And of course, Lamar Jackson has so much gravity that I just didn't think anybody could possibly stop Derrick Henry in this offense. And he smashed, obviously. Top five in the league in EPA per rush. I believe it was Henry, Gibbs, Saquon, Bucky Irving. And the last player is eluding me. But yeah, he was in the top five for sure. Third most carries, he went at the five-yard line. Averaged 5 more fantasy points per game in Baltimore than he did during his final season in Tennessee. Just, we know Henry's just different. And again, I talked about how this offense has been a little bit more aggressive in terms of early down pass rate, stuff like that, but it's still at its core a run first team. And yeah, Henry's 31 years old, but he didn't look like he was on the decline at all last year. Like, some people, again, were worried about that week one game. Henry doesn't look good. He doesn't look good. And also, it was like the Ravens' first game. They had this terrible offensive line situation. They were running Henry up the middle a lot, where you want to get him on the edge. Then they started to do that more in the coming weeks after. Of course, not going to give you much of anything in the passing game, which is nothing new. So he's always going to be, you know, bumped down a bit in PPR formats. But yeah, I've seen reports about them talking extension for Henry. It's going to be a top 7 running back at the very least. And there were some drafts, a lot of drafts where you could have got him in the late second this past season. That's obviously not going to happen anymore. But he's unbelievable. Just defenses just have so much to worry about, so much stress on defenses between him and Lamar Jackson, as long as the two are together in Baltimore. When we come back, we get back to the passing game with the wide receivers. Zay Flowers coming off a bit of a breakout sophomore season. Rashad Bateman finally gives us some production. A lot of talk about with him and the tight ends. You want to talk about freaking out. Mark Andrews had a roller coaster season where he was dropped in a ton of leagues early on. That ended up being a mistake. We'll talk about Andrews. We'll talk about Likely and the rest of this Baltimore passing game when we come back. Don't move. All right, welcome back. Baltimore Ravens here on the podcast, recapping their 2024 season. And with Lamar Jackson having 41 touchdowns and over 4,100 yards, yeah, there was a lot to like about the Ravens passing game this year. Zay Flowers, we expected to be the top wide receiver following a rookie season where he was getting a lot of those scheme touches. And that continued. I mean, Zay, 74 catches, just under 1,100 yards, only 4 touchdowns. It was a weird season for Zay. Like, the overall end of season stats look solid, but he was still kind of used in that short area, close to line of scrimmage way, which did hurt his upside a little bit. It started week one where the offensive line couldn't pass protect very well, so like they had to get the ball out quick, and it was a lot of short stuff to Zay Flowers. But it was like that for a lot of the season. I mean, Zay Flowers, 20 screen targets last season, 4th most among wide receivers. That made up over 17% of his total targets, and he had 25 targets behind line of scrimmage. So he did see a little bit of a bump in deep targets this season, but it was still mostly short area, rely on the yards after the catch, jet sweep, stuff like that. And like his weekly ceiling in fantasy, like it, he only had a few true ceiling games. It was the Denver game, the Washington game. Like he is somebody I was pretty high on going into the season. But there were some games where it's just like the Ravens had plenty of games where they got out to an early lead because Henry scored twice and then the tight end scored and Bateman scored. And then you were just kind of left. It was all of a sudden it was like 31-14. Baltimore was winning. And then Zay Flowers ends the day with 4 catches for 38 yards. It was a lot of those games too. Definitely still think he's the clear top target in the offense going forward. But he's probably closer to like a wide receiver 3 than he is like a top 15 guy. I mean, in terms of fantasy points per game, I'm pretty sure he was out to the top 20 wide receivers. So like, yeah, it was a solid season, but he doesn't get a lot of end zone looks. Those go to the tight ends, and those go to Rashad Bateman, and of course they go to Derrick Henry on the ground. But let's talk about Bateman. I tweeted about him earlier today on Tuesday, but yeah, Rashad Bateman was somebody that, coming out of Minnesota, I really liked as a prospect. Really good 3-level in terms of route running ability. Then he's had these injuries to start his career, and it looked like it was going to just not happen for Bateman. They've been trying to bring in other wide receivers. But Bateman stayed healthy this year. and produce. And it was really great to see. 45 catches, 756 yards, 9 touchdowns on 72 targets. Looking at a lot of the advanced data at FTN Stats Hub on Rashad Bateman, he had 4 touchdown catches with on throws outside the pocket, most in the NFL, and he had 3 touchdown catches with 4-plus yards of separation. So when you have a player that scores 9 touchdowns on just 45 catches, a lot of the times it's kind of fluky. And again, like regardless, he won't score 9 touchdowns on 45 catches again next season, but I wanted to go back and look at all of his touchdowns and see exactly what happened. Because I do remember just from watching the Ravens so much that it was a lot of, seemed like it was a lot of like busted coverage, broken play touchdowns from Bateman. But obviously like Lamar is going to escape the pocket a ton and make a lot of throws outside the pocket. But Bateman was so good at keeping plays alive when Lamar would scramble, working back to the football, finding the open spot. There was a play against the Bills in the playoffs where he was covered, and then he continued to break back to the right, snuck behind Terrell Bernard for the touchdown. Like that was the opening touchdown of the game. Like there were so many of those plays from Bateman where he was so good at working back to the football. There was one a touchdown against the Bengals in that Thursday game where I think he ran a drag route in the red zone, saw Lamar was scrambling to the left, worked back all the way from the, about the middle of the field to the back left corner of the end zone where he scored the touchdown. Like, there was so much of that from Rashad Bateman. He also had a 19% target share on passes outside the pocket. So, like, he was kind of Lamar's guy when the play broke down. That's really important with Rashad Bateman. That was really impressive to me. He also had 10 end zone targets. So, like, a lot of it was the tight ends, which we'll talk about in a minute, and Rashad Bateman. And then there was also explosive plays. Top 7 in both yards per target and yards per reception last season. Like I mentioned, he still shows really good ability to run routes. There was a touchdown, a long touchdown against Tampa Bay. I believe it was against Zion McCollum, where it was kind of like a double move where he ran kind of a streak, sold it as almost like a skinny post, and then did a little head fake, continued on the streak, and scored like a 50-plus yard touchdown. Like, Bateman's tape was really impressive, actually, to me. Again, the touchdown regression's probably going to hit, but I'll tell you what, like, there's a good chance that I feel more comfortable drafting Rashad Bateman where he goes in drafts this season than I do Zay Flowers. Not that I think Bateman's going to have a better year or more volume than Zay Flowers, but he impressed me. He really did. I think they love him there. They talked, John Harbaugh and company talked all offseason. There's a lot of questions about Bateman because he was impressing in training camp, and obviously the concern was health. And they were saying, like, yeah, this is going to be the year for Rashad Bateman. And, like, it wasn't, like, to the extent of, like, you know, 85 catches, 1,200 yards, etc. But there was a lot of production from Rashad Bateman, a lot of explosive plays. So I'm really interested in him. And I was very impressed with his play last season. And it's just good to see him healthy. We'll close it out with the tight ends, which will always be a huge part of this offense. You know, Lamar throws the middle of the field as much as anybody. We've seen this team, they run 2 tight end sets as much as anybody. So you want to talk about that week 1 reaction, where Isaiah Likely goes absolutely crazy against the Chiefs. Mark Andrews' routes come down. And all of a sudden, it's, what's going on with Mark Andrews? Isaiah Likely was the first and top at the time waiver wire ad. Teams were just emptying their budget on Isaiah Likely. And he still had plenty of weeks, but it was probably safe to say that was a little bit overreactionary. And it was weird for Mark Andrews because you can't, again, 1 week is one thing, but weeks 1 through 5, Mark Andrews was just completely irrelevant. Weeks 1 through 5, he averaged 2.8 targets, 2 receptions, 24 receiving yards, 4.4 PPR points per game, didn't score a touchdown. So he was dropped in a ton of leagues. Legitimately dropped in a ton of them. And then he started scoring touchdowns because that's what Andrews does. That's what the Ravens offense does. That's what Lamar Jackson does. Week six on, still not insane volume because they're throwing to Likely, Flowers, Bateman, etc. About 5 targets per game, 4 catches, 46 yards. But he averages almost a touchdown per game during that span, and he goes up to 14 fantasy points per game. Ultimately ends the season with 11 touchdowns on 55 catches. Just so many end zone targets as well. Likely, he had plenty as well. I will say with Andrews, though, the route participation did take a pretty substantial hit. He had previously been, for the majority of his career, a guy that runs a route on, 78 or 80% of dropbacks. It went down like below 60% this season. A lot of that was different looks with Likely, where a lot of times if they had one tight end on the field, it was Likely and not Andrews. They had him blocking a lot too early in the season because the offensive line wasn't good to start. So it's tough with Andrews going forward because that's not a trend I like in terms of routes, because at the end of the day, tight ends, touchdowns and routes are like two most important things. He had one of them, he didn't have the other, but we know the one that he did have, touchdowns, is tough to predict. Maybe not as tough to predict with Andrews, who's always scored touchdowns and this offense is going to be elite. We know that. So, it was frustrating. Both Likely and Andrews will be used quite a bit. We know that. It's going to be a team that uses 12 personnel at one of the highest rates in football. But here's a situation too. Andrews is still going to be drafted as a top 8 tight end. Likely won't be close to that. If Andrews' touchdowns come back down a little bit, is it crazy to think that Likely and Andrews can have very similar stat lines at the end of the season? Likely had 42 catches, 477 yards, and 6 touchdowns this past season, where Andrews had 55 for 673 and 11. If those touchdowns go from 11 to 8 or 7, and Likely still scores a decent amount, I don't feel good about that route participation. Maybe it's not below 60%, but I don't think it's getting back to the 80, 81, 82% it had been. And that's definitely a problem. So, if I'm doing my tight end rankings for 2025, the clear top guys will be, Bowers, McBride, Kittle, Kelsey will be up there if he's back, Sam Laporta. We'll see where, Tyler Warren goes, but, Andrews will probably be, 7th. Hockenson will be up there, so, behind those guys. But that doesn't mean you have to draft him, especially where he goes. He's probably going to be drafted in the middle rounds, and I talked about this, I think it was on the Bills episode, where I want to start avoiding drafting tight ends that go in those middle rounds. Because they won't be difference-making players like the elite guys will be, Bowers, McBride, Kittle. And they probably won't be too dissimilar to two guys you could take late. You could just double-tap the position late, and one of them hits, good to go. And it's not even just the fact that one of them can hit. It's the fact of the players you're probably passing on in those middle rounds at wide receiver and at running back if you take that tight end in the middle round. So Andrews probably won't be drafted by me very often. Likely is going to be one of those tight ends that you can draft late as a second tight end with somebody else that you kind of like as a potential breakout candidate, or maybe somebody with a decent floor, maybe Hunter Henry, somebody like that. And I think there's still so much upside with Likely, especially because he has standalone value. We know that in this offense, he plays a role. And if Andrews misses any time, Likely's probably going to be a top 6 tight end most weeks. So I'm probably going to be, it's interesting because I like Zay Flowers as a player. I still think Andrews is good. He's going to score touchdowns, But I'm over here thinking, yeah, I want pieces of this offense because Lamar Jackson's unbelievable and this offense is going to be really good. But I almost feel better about waiting and passing on Zay Flowers and taking some Rashad Bateman late in drafts and then passing on Andrews and taking Isaiah Likely late in drafts because the production will still be there. Like, Bateman's not going to have the same yardage and catches as Zay Flowers most likely, but I also don't think Zay Flowers, like I said, is going to have this, like, unbelievable ceiling. Some weeks he definitely will, don't get me wrong. But again, like, this past season, on a per-game basis, actually, let's look at overall points, because I don't believe he missed any. He might miss a couple games, but I know he missed time in the playoffs, so actually it might have been just the playoffs. I think he got hurt in the last game of the season. So, overall, Zay Flowers was the wide receiver 25. On a per-game basis, he was definitely below that. He was at 12.3. Like, he was behind Metcalf, Juwan Jennings, Jameson Williams. A lot of those guys will be drafted around him or later. He was behind Sutton. He was behind Addison. He was behind Jacoby Myers. And again, I haven't looked at ADP too much because it's not even March yet, but he's probably going to be somebody I avoid as much as I like him, as much as I like the offense. And I'll say, you know what? I'll take Bateman late around like wide receiver 50 or whatever he's going to go as. And at tight end, I'll probably have a similar approach with Andrews and Isaiah Likely because we want pieces of this offense for sure. But I outside of Henry and obviously Lamar, I'll probably look more towards the pieces that are going later in drafts. But that'll do it for the Ravens. Really good team. Really good quarterback. Really good running back. Not much to add. Just a really good team for a really long time. And it'll be fun to watch them, the Bengals. It's just one of the best divisions in football outside of Cleveland, who's kind of going to have to rebuild and restart everything. But the Ravens are trying to get that championship right there with the Bills. One of us has to do it, dethrone the Chiefs from making the Super Bowl every season. Please, somebody's got to do it. Like I said, though, Laquan Jones, now a part of FTN. He'll be joining me on Thursday to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. What's going to happen with T. Higgins? What's going to happen with the backfield after Chase Brown's really good season? And Jamar Chase is awesome. He'll get extended, but the key talking point is definitely T. Higgins. And very quietly, Mike Gesicki is a free agent too. He was quietly pretty good without T. Higgins. The Bengals have a lot of interesting stats on Cincinnati. I'm excited to break that team down and more with Laquan on Thursday. So keep it locked here. FTN Fantasy for the numbers. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. As always, talk to you next time. Peace out.